You know, the moments of life, especially in marriage, make a difference in the habits that we develop. So when those moments come, a moment when there needs to be an issue resolved, or there needs to be a conflict to be discussed, or a decision that needs to be made, when those moments occur, how you respond will determine the level of satisfaction, closeness, intimacy, and frankly, the love that you have in your marriage. And so today we're really asking the question, what is one healthy habit that you have in your marriage that's making a difference? And we'd love to hear your story on our comment line, 888-888-1717. The rest of the show today is going to be a best of from our Intentional Living Archives, because what we've heard on this show coming up, I think we already know it's going to be very encouraging to you. But we want you to participate as well on our storyline at 888-888-1717. Healthy habits. What is intentional living? We live a life that God intends, and one of His intentions for us is that you and I would have very godly, healthy habits in our marriage. So stay tuned.
My name is Mark. What my wife and I do is each morning we text one another whatever song we woke up with in our hearts. After that, we text one another a Bible scripture. It does a couple of things. One, it strengthens each of our relationships with the Lord. And the other thing that it does is that it strengthens our relationship with one another.
Hey, Mark, you're a smart guy. Building those kind of habits where you communicate, text now allows us to do that, texting your favorite song and verse and just encouraging each other. In fact, we should be doing that throughout the day. You talk about habits in marriage. Staying in touch with encouraging words, uplifting words can make all the difference. So today, share yours, 888-888-1717.
Hi, this is Steve Tanner with some intentional thoughts about habits. Dictionary.com defines a habit as an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary, such as the habit of looking both ways before crossing the street, or the habit of salting your food before tasting it, or the habit of going to the refrigerator as soon as I get home from work. As soon as you get home from work. Regarding habits, 18th century English author Samuel Johnson said, "The chains of habit are generally too small to be felt until they are too strong to be broken." U.S. Olympic distance runner Jim Ryan said, "Motivation is what gets you started. Habit is what keeps you going." St. Augustine said, "Habit, if not resisted, soon becomes necessity." And the 19th century Russian author Dostoevsky said, "The second half of a man's life is made up of nothing but the habits he has acquired during the first half." Habits rarely begin in a big way, but often end up with big consequences, good and bad. And it was Ralph Waldo Emerson who penned the famous quote, "Sow a thought and reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny." For Intentional Living, I'm Steve Tanner.
All right. That's excellent, Steve. That was good stuff. And you know what it says in the message, the paraphrase of Proverbs 18:9, it says, "Slack habits and sloppy work are as bad as vandalism." Think on that for a while. If nothing else, we're giving you something to think about the habits of your life and your marriage. Some of you could probably even call and say, "I got to be honest with you, it was because of some bad habits in your marriage that you ended up out the door and the marriage was over." Wow. Okay, let's go to Kay. Listens in Arizona. Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Talking habits today. How about you and your marriage?
Oh, well, it's not bad. We've been married 47 years.
Good. What are some habits that have made a difference?
Well, one especially, and it took me almost 47 years to find out how to actually do it.
Well, what is that?
When I would ask my husband a question, how do I do this, or where is this, or, you know, if I, just any little thing, it seemed to me like he would raise his voice at me, and he would be very demonstrative, and his eyebrows would go up, his eyes would get big while he was talking, and I just felt like he was getting angry, but I didn't want to accuse him of getting angry.
He's overreacting to a question.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I learned, I don't remember where I read it, but I thought I would try it. I don't pay attention to how he's saying it, I just pay attention to what he's saying.
Does that work?
And oh, absolutely, absolutely. Because I used to just, my blood pressure would boil, and I just couldn't wait to say something when he was finished about, how can you, I don't know why you treat me like a kid, you know, blah, blah, blah. And anymore, I just listen to what he's saying instead of how he's saying it, and realize that he has a large family, and a lot of them in his family do the same thing.
Now, did that change his behavior toward you at all? Or is he still the same?
Oh, you mean when I?
Yeah, I mean the fact that you don't get drawn in, is it just part of his personality and just the way he does it?
Yeah,
it,
I don't think it changed him any.
Uh-huh, but it changed
but
you.
It changed how long our conversations go on. We can have really good conversations now.
It's interesting. You know, there's a thing in the whole world of interactions and relationships that the person who can change a relationship is the person with the power. And whenever we give up power in terms of allowing somebody else's behavior or attitude or raised eyebrows or whatever to have power over us, we give away the opportunity to change a relationship. When we keep that power, and I use that term just to illustrate that we're trying to have power over a person, but we don't give up that sense of being unable to assertively and lovingly listen to what they're saying more than how they're saying it. That's a mature thing to do. Not that your husband and all of us should be aware of how we come across, but the fact that you're choosing to listen to his words and his heart and what he's trying to say is a good thing. All right. Thank you, Kay. Appreciate it. Today, talking about good habits, bad habits. Come on, couples. This is for you. 888-888-1717. What's one habit you guys got?
The first one is you never, ever, ever say anything negative or unkind about each other or to each other. Doesn't matter whether you're together or whether you're separated. If he's out with the guys or you're out with the gals, you never, ever do that. Second thing is, we always, always put the needs of the other person prior. They're a real priority, and that's not always easy if there's something involved that you're feeling strongly about or something you really want. But we're talking needs here. And the third thing is shower together once a week, whether you need it or not.
Okay. We're talking about habits here today, and you know, there's research that I've shared in conferences to help couples see that there are things that you can do to help your marriage be stronger. John Gottman, who's sort of one of a senior statesmen in the area of research on couples, has come up with a list of some things that work, 7-1 things that could make a difference, and I'll try to get those to you here in just a minute or two, so get a pencil and paper out. 7 things you can do to help keep your marriage solid and strong. 888-888-1717 as we go to Meredith next. Meredith, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. You guys have a habit that's working for you?
Actually, it's something my husband totally does on his own.
Okay.
We're both pretty crazy coffee drinkers. I worked at Starbucks in college, so I love my coffee. My husband drinks it black, and usually he gets it at work. And then I have the kids in the morning, and so what I just totally melts my heart is when I go to the coffee cupboard and I make my coffee and I get the sugar shaker down and it's been refilled. And it sounds so silly, and you know, most people are like, okay, whatever. But to me, it's just a totally selfless thing that he does.
Because he doesn't use it. It's not for him. It's not about him.
It's not for him. He doesn't use sugar in his coffee, and most of the time he gets coffee at work. So when he does that, it's like, you know, after I've gone to bed or something, like he's noticed that, oh, the sugar's low and she's going to want some in her coffee and he'll refill it. So it may seem silly to some people, but it's totally melts my heart because it's like he intentionally thought of me in that moment and knew it would mean something to me. So I appreciate when he does that.
So it is the little things. I mean, big things
really
are nice, but it's those little things like seeing the coffee dispenser or the sugar dispenser empty and he refills it for you.
Yeah.
Good for him. Totally. What a guy.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
And I don't know if he's listening, but he gets the gold star so far today.
Yeah.
Okay, you give him a big,
I don't know, he's probably at work, but
give him a big hug for us.
I'll see if we can get a replay or something.
Yeah, it's online. You play it back for him tonight.
All
okay?
right.
All right. Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. You know, it is simple as refilling the sugar dispenser in life. I think that's sort of a physical example of how simple it can be to build a habit that says, I care about you and I want the best for you. I'm not perfect, but I'm going to develop some habits that will speak into your life. I'm convinced after years of working with couples that many, many divorces could have been diverted if one or both within that marriage would have begun the process of living out their faith by developing habits that can strengthen their relationship. That makes a difference, and it's a decision that you and I make to do that. Let me give you very quickly a few of the seven habits that Dr. John Gottman has written on and researched often for marriages and for couples with a predictive value that is very high, 80-90% predictive in terms of marriages that will survive, that do the right things and those that don't. Here are some things he's recommended. Seek help early. In other words, couples who have strong long-term marriages resolve problems quickly. They don't shove it under the rug. They don't deny it. They don't wait for it to go away. They don't assume time is going to make it better. If there's a problem, seeking help early. The research is pretty clear that most marriages that fail will fail in the first 7 years of marriage. So seeking help early, learning not to let things build up. Even the Bible says don't go to bed at night with wrath or anger or disagreement, resolving problems quickly. Secondly, he found editing ourselves. In other words, we think twice and speak once, right? If we were all to think twice and speak once, we'd have a lot less problems in marriage. Bite your tongue, walk around the block, count to 10, write it out before you say it, think about it, pray about it, and certainly think about it twice before you say it once. Because usually it's the first words out of our mouth or the quick email that's sent back in the send button when you wish you had pulled it back that gets us into trouble. These are the steps that we can take to be intentional in our marriage. There's a couple. I'll give you some more here before we wrap up this half hour. Practical stuff from the Intentional Living Center for being intentional in your marriage.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Karen, and I am just calling from Peoria. And I wanted to call and just express that my husband and I are doing so much better at doing intentional things for each other that make each other feel special. And one of the things that my husband has been doing for me that I just really appreciate is every morning he gets up, he turns the coffee pot on, and he brings me a cup of coffee. And he'll even open the shower door and let me take a sip of coffee first thing in the morning. And it's just a special thing that he does for me.
We've all been discouraged. Perhaps a relationship didn't pan out, or you didn't get that job you applied for, or maybe your life hasn't gone as you expected.
When people become discouraged, it's usually because they've first been disappointed. Our formula is expectation minus reality equals disappointment, because disappointment always follows something that we expect that doesn't turn into reality.
In Dr. Randy's message, Overcoming Discouragement, he provides you with practical advice for how to not let discouragement get in the way and how to find your strength in Christ. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, thank you, Kurt, for that reminder. And I do want to say a huge thank you to those of you who have been so faithful in your prayers and your financial support for the Ministry of Intentional Living, part of Intentional Life Media. We have one mission, helping people here through our podcast, radio broadcast, through our events and publications and books. Everything that we do, helping people to not only experience life as God intended, but to have a personal relationship with Him first, because that's the ultimate goal and mission of this ministry, to see people experience a personal, growing, dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's because of your prayers and your financial support that we're seeing young people, couples, individuals, single parents, those who are retired, every age, all across the country, who are making a decision today to say, I want to experience a life that's richer than just what we see in the world. I want to have a relationship with my Creator and then live intentionally for Him. And we're helping people do that through our broadcasts and all these other ways that you help make possible. Would you come and join us today? We need your help. Your financial monthly support is making a difference. Can I challenge you today to join us for a dollar a day in support of the ministry? Would you do that? Call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or anytime online at theintentionallife.com. Click on donate. That's theintentionallife.com. And thank you for your support.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Welcome back to Intentional Living Center. We're all about motivating and equipping and then mentoring, coming alongside. Because life is short, we want to live it intentionally for Christ. We talked about marriage, focusing on seeking help early, editing yourself. John Gottman in his research also found that when we learn how to make it a habit to repair and exit an argument, in other words, when you're in that point where you've had a disagreement, do you know how to repair maybe some of the damage that could have been done in the words that have been shared or the attitudes displayed, and then how to exit? In other words, how you know how to kiss and make up. That's basically what he's saying. If you can have a habit that says, hey, we know in advance when we have problems how we're going to come to some conclusion, agree to disagree, pray about it, put it on an agenda to talk about tomorrow or whatever, but you know how to deal with exiting an argument. Why? Because, again, if you have arguments on an ongoing basis and they never get resolved and there's always a tension point under the surface that's left there, that can create problems long-term in your marriage. It's the accumulation of a little negativity over an extended period of time that can create huge problems. They really can. And today we're talking about habits that can make your marriage work. We've got some callers we're getting to in just a minute.
Dr. Randy, I've been married for 30 years to the most wonderful woman in the world. She's my best friend. We lost a child 5 years ago that was 20 years old. And the only way you make it through life like that and have a strong marriage is with Christ in it. And I thank you for it. Bye.
Thank you for your stories today. Appreciate it. And by the way, you can share your story or comment with us on Facebook, theintentionallife.com. Hit Facebook there, on Twitter. We always enjoy hearing from you there at the IL Center, or by calling 888-888-1717. Shanda's on the line. Is it Shanda?
Shanda.
Shanda, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What's a habit that is working for you guys?
So we've been married almost 9 years, and my husband Rex is incredibly loving. He has two questions that he asks me on a regular basis that just melt my heart. Mm. He will often say to me, "Have I told you how much I love you yet today?" Mm-hmm. Or he will say, "Have I told you how beautiful you are today?" Mm. And he can do that at midnight when I'm doing homework and I'm exhausted, or I'm cooking dinner or cleaning the bathroom. It doesn't matter what I look like or how I feel. He just melts my heart when he says it.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. That build into your marriage in those times when it's a little tougher, you're building a kind of a bank account of love in the relationship, don't you think?
Absolutely. It makes me feel like I can trust him, like I can depend on him and turn to him.
That's fantastic. How long have you been married?
Almost 9 years.
All right. I hope guys are listening. That's a positive thing, a habit you can develop. The words that you speak, you know, we've shared the word off, the passage often, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. It's the little words meant from your heart that you share with your spouse that make a difference. Okay, Shanda, thank you for your call.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Working late, going to study at midnight. Remember those days? Katrina in Texas. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Fantastic. What are some habits or a habit in your marriage that's working for you guys?
Well, I just recently graduated college, and I'm working at a tax accounting office, so it's like my first real job. And my husband, you know, he often tells me that he notices how hard I'm working. And one of the fun things that he does for me is on Monday and Wednesday, he'll send me a little morning pick-me-up, which is basically just a text with like a funny link to it or a picture or something along those lines. Hmm. So,
how's that feel to you when you get those?
The first time I got it, I was like, okay, that's weird. And then now every time he does it, it's like I just absolutely love it. And when he doesn't do it, I notice and I text him and I'm like, where's my pick-me-up?
How long you been married?
3 years now.
Good for you. Good for you. What was it that attracted you to him?
He's quirky and nerdy like me, so that definitely helped.
Well, so you shouldn't have been surprised when you started getting texts. Well, good for you, Katrina. Listen, what we've heard today and what we see on Facebook coming in are just these simple things. It's the little things that make a difference. It's building into your marriage a little bit over an extended period of time that can turn a 3-year marriage into a 30-year marriage. It's a matter of just continuing to do those little things that really add up. Thank you for your call, Katrina. Glad you're listening.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. John Gottman gives us the good stuff in terms of what the research shows that make a marriage work. We've talked about some of these already. Seeking help early, editing yourself, exiting an argument. Another thing he found in the research is accepting influence from each other. To the extent, in fact, he found that the extent that a husband is willing to accept influence from his wife is correlated to marital success. In other words, guys, we don't always have to be in charge. We don't always have to be right. We don't always have to be the one that makes every decision. Yeah, I know there are roles in marriage, but the reality is, guys, when we take influence from our wives and we listen to their hearts, hear their words, because they are smarter than we are in a lot of stuff, when we do those things consistently over an extended period of time, it makes a big difference. Next is maintaining high standards. Couples who make it a habit not to treat each other with more disrespect than they would anybody else. Isn't it interesting that sometimes we disrespect each other in our family in ways that we would never disrespect someone, a stranger knocking on the door? And it shouldn't be. Maintaining high standards. And interesting, Gottman also found focusing on the bright side, where the Bible says, you know, a little positive happiness makes like good medicine in marriage, right? Keeping a positive attitude in marriage really can make a difference. Our formula is expectation minus reality equals disappointment. And it is a formula that you can go to the bank on, because disappointment always follows something that we expect that doesn't turn into reality. Isn't that one of the reasons we find holidays sometimes to be so afterwards a letdown? We get all pumped up for Christmas. This is going to be the big thing, you know, and then Christmas comes and we have all these big expectations and the family's going to be together and it's going to be kumbaya and everybody's going to love each other and it's just, this year it's going to be fantastic. And then the family shows up. And we're disappointed, right?
Well, not always, but certainly we can overestimate something, can't we? We can overexpect something because in reality, people are people and we live in a sinful, fallen world. And so one of the things we do is remind us every day that our expectations of others need to be realistic, to understand that our expectation that we can know Jesus Christ personally is a powerful reality. And that's why this ministry of intentional living exists. You know, today, as we're speaking about marriage and the importance of marriage, I was thinking about that thing on expectations. Because in marriage, you clearly understand, you relate, if you've been married more than a minute, that an expectation minus reality in marriage, some expectation about communication, about decision-making, about finance, about family, whatever it may be, when it's not met, that expectation, depending on how powerful of an expectation it is, can create disappointment, disillusionment. Ultimately, in many marriages, it brings marriages to their knees. And that's why we here at Intentional Living want to remind you, we talk about the power of one thing. I ask that question, what one thing could you do today in your marriage and over the next 30 days that would bring your relationship with Christ front and center and your relationship with your spouse in an important relationship and communication and connection every day that'll bring glory to God? What would that one thing be? And then do it for the next 30 days. And you know what? All of this is possible. This program, this encouragement, the podcast, all the publications and things that we do, because many faithful men and women, single parents, young and old, who say, we understand that reaching people for Christ is valuable and important, and financially, tangibly support this ministry. And I just want to say, I got about 30 seconds here to just say thank you for praying about joining us and then acting on it today. Your monthly support is needed. All you need to do is call us during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, press number 2, 888-888-1717, or anytime online, you can come on over to theintentionallife.com and stand in support of the ministry. And I want you to know that your support is making a huge difference today. Again, 888-888-1717, and thank you for your support.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. My name is Tracy. And a couple years ago, I felt like my marriage just unraveling and I needed to do something. I read a book, A Life After God's Own Heart, and since then started living an intentional life as being a godly wife. And it changed my marriage, where my husband and I are coming up on our 20th wedding anniversary and are more in love now than we were when we first got married. And I want to thank you for your broadcast and just encouraging people to live intentional life. Thank you and God bless. Bye.
Boy, listen, thank you. It's just a little tenderness, right? I think there's a song that talks about that, doesn't it? Just a little tenderness makes a difference. This day today, I think, is an opportunity for us to come back to the roots of what our ministry is all about, because we believe that intentional living comes back to doing the next right one thing. If you've heard me at all in conferences, you know I say declare your intention. Today, do that. Declare your intention. Before God today, I declare my intention to be the husband, to be the wife that God intends for me to be. I don't have a perfect spouse, and I'm not a perfect spouse, and we've got challenges, but I intend today to be the spouse that God intends for me to be. And then secondly, start developing the kind of habits. And when you do that, that's intentional living. And I want to say thank you for joining us today. I want to thank those of you who have been joining us in support of the ministry. Thank you for all that you're doing to make intentional living a reality. We'll see you next time. We've got a lot more for you from day to day right here from the Intentional Living Center.